Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22, so page 1095 in the Red Church Bible. Verse 1. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was in the evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Sapphias, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, a very good morning to you all. If I haven't met you before, my name is Esther Jane and I'm the worship pastor here. It's great to have so many of you students back, and if this is your first time, can I just echo a really warm welcome to you. You've joined us. We're going through the series looking at people of the last days. We're going through the book of Acts, and today we're going to consider what it means to be people of courage as we've heard this amazing account in Acts chapter 4. Now, a simple dictionary definition of courage is this. Courage is the ability to control your fear in a dangerous or difficult situation. Something that just to draw out up top is this isn't an absence of fear, but it's the ability to overcome and face our fears. And that's how we can be people of courage. Now, actually, just yesterday, I had to face my fears. I have a fear of heights. It's not so much the heights themselves that scare me. It's more what my body seems to do when I am up high, you know, when everything starts to spin and you just start to feel shaky and you have to get as low as possible. So maybe rather stupidly, I agreed to be a responsible adult at a 12th birthday party at Go Ape. For those of you that don't know what Go Ape is, it's essentially an obstacle course in the treetops. As this was a 12th birthday party, I thought, how high can it be? Well, let me say, it was quite high, and I very much had to face my fears. At one point, I was stuck on a swing, literally frozen, and I could not move. But at the end of this course, there's this leap of faith, or as the 12-year-old boys were saying, it's the leap of death. And so we get to the end, and here I am. I have to jump, and I have to face my fear. I just have to jump off the platform. So what did I do? I took a deep breath, and I jumped. And we've got a video of this for you. Who I am, holding on. And then you plow into a cargo net, which I hit at quite speed, and then I just kept spinning and spinning and spinning. So by the time I got back on the net, I'm already even more dizzy. But I made it. There we go. You see, ultimately, thank you. you see, ultimately, I was safe. Although I had to face my fear, I was safe. Because I was on a lifeline the whole way through, you know, always stay attached. You put your blue and your red and you're on and you're clipped in. And actually, I was safe. I was able to face my fear because I was tethered on this lifeline. And today's passage is one where we see this courage of Peter and John. You know, they face death, imminent death, really. But actually, they're able to overcome their fears because they know that they are eternally secure. They know the hope that they have. And these men are transformed. You know, these were unschooled, ordinary men, little older than teenagers, who have encountered the risen Jesus and have been filled with the Spirit. And that is how they become people of courage. And today I want to draw out what it would look like for us to jump and be people of courage who are filled with the Spirit and who know that we are eternally secure. But will you pray with me as we begin? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word, and we pray now that you would come and speak to us, that you would show us what it means to be people of courage, who are able to face our fears, knowing that we are eternally secure in the hope that we have in you. It's your name we pray. Amen. So the context for today's passage really begins in Pentecost, when the Spirit of God is poured out on all people. And it's in the power of the Spirit that Peter and John, they're on the way to the temple to pray when they meet a lame man beside a gate called Beautiful. And he's begging and he's asking them for money. And they say, oh, you know, we're not going to give you money, but we can give you something so much better. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And this man is miraculously healed. And the sight of this man leaping around and praising God gathers a huge crowd. And it's here that Peter starts to preach the gospel, but he can't even make it through his sermon when the temple guards come and snatch him away, and the two of them are thrown into prison. And we read here in verse 2 that they were arrested because they, this is the Sadducees, were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, the thing is, the Sadducees, these were the experts of the law. They taught people how to interpret the scriptures, but they fundamentally didn't believe in an afterlife. So what's happening here is Peter and John are proclaiming that in Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. So they're like, we're just going to undermine your authority on your territory. And so they've just had an absolute, they're like, we've had enough, and they snatch them away, and they throw them in prison. But we read that we have an issue here. Verse 4, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. This is a message that is just exploding. A few days earlier in Pentecost, we read that the number of believers was 3,000. And here we are, 5,000 believers. This is vast, quick multiplication. So here we have it. They've been thrown in jail. The following morning, verses 5 to 7, the next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Now, I want to pause here because these names might be familiar, or they might have just gone over your head. Annas and Caiaphas, if we flick back to the story of Easter, of Jesus's arrest, his trial, his death and resurrection, these two men were responsible for condemning Jesus to death. And so picture it here. We have Peter and John stood in front of the men who killed Jesus, their friend. And what are they going to do? Are they going to shy away? No, they don't. We go on and we read that they proclaim the gospel. They say it's in the name of Jesus that this man was healed. I don't know about you, but if I was facing someone who could literally chop my head off, kill me, I wouldn't be there being like, here I am. Let me tell you the radical message that Jesus has given. So what's changed about these men? I wanna actually go back a little bit to that story. So John 18, 15 through 17, it'll be on the screens. So Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. John's gospel is written by John the apostle that we're reading about here. And so Simon Peter and another disciple. Now John often writes himself into the gospel by a pseudonym. So here we have it. Simon Peter and John were following Jesus. Because this disciple, John, was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest, John's like, in case you missed it the first time, I'm going to say it again. He knew me. Came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there and brought Peter in. Verse 17, you aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. He replied, I am not. The last time Peter and John were in the presence of the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, Peter denies Jesus. You know, we read he goes on twice more to deny Jesus. But flash forward here, and he is a changed man. He's utterly transformed. But the big question is, what has changed? This isn't a big, like, personality change. It's not like quick transformation. You know, all those shows where they do quick transformations. This isn't Peter and John have been for some coaching and their coach has said to them, like, you should really engage in a courageous conversation. You know, the ones at work that you're like, oh, I don't really want to have this conversation. You're encouraged, have a courageous conversation. That sort of thing. This isn't that. What has changed? Verse 8 says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what's changed. He's filled. Peter has seen the risen Jesus and he has encountered the Holy Spirit. And he is a man on fire. And what's he do? Well, he just starts to absolutely pack the punches. If there was ever a message, he's just preaching on fire. He's like, you crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. Guess what? You don't even believe in the resurrection, but he still did it. And you think that you're the experts of the law. Well, guess what? Let me quote the scriptures at you. Verse 11, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. This is a death wish sermon, if there ever was one. You know, he's just on fire. But these men have been transformed. And this is so encouraging for us. Do you know, this sermon series is called People of the Last Days, and we might think that's them, but we are people of the last days. And we can be transformed. You know, the only thing we need to do isn't work ourselves up, be more extroverted, be more bold, be more daring, be more courageous. In our own strength, we just need to be fillable. We need to be able to say, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And that's how we become people of courage. Today, I want to draw out from our passage just four practical ways that we can be people of courage and jump. So jump, J-U-M-P. J, Jesus radiators. What do I mean by that? In verse 13, it says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The courage of these men has astonished the religious leaders. The Greek here is to marvel at, be utterly amazed, to be dumbfounded. These unschooled, ordinary men have dumbfounded the religious experts. And all these men can do is take note that these men have been with Jesus. Jesus radiators. You know, what does it look like to be people that people take note that we've spent time with Jesus? Well, I'd imagine we'd love a little better. We'd love like him. We'd sound like him. We'd look like him. When we spend time with God, we can't help but being changed more and more into his image. And I think that it's from spending this time with Jesus that these men find more courage. Now, I want to tell a story today. I'm going to go through it as we go through these four J-U-M-P points. So picture this. This was about 5 years ago. I was leading a trip. I was leading a tour around Israel, and we were at the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum, which is where Jesus lived. And I was sat overlooking the sea when this girl comes and sits beside me. And I have to say, I was really drawn to her because her appearance was quite striking. She had shaved her head. She was completely covered in tattoos. She was walking barefoot on the rocky, dusty ground. But the thing that was most like striking was she was carrying this wicker basket. And in this wicker basket were filled with crystals and other paraphernalia. And so she sits beside me, and I feel this gentle nudge from the Lord, go and speak to her. And I want to say this wasn't a go and proclaim the gospel to her. She clearly needs me in her life. This was a just don't be a Brit, go and speak to her. And I'm like, all right, fine. So, you know, here I am. I go over. I'm like, hi, what are you doing? And she explains to me that she is on a solo pilgrimage, walking barefoot across Israel with a hope of finding herself. I was like, oh, couldn't have got that from this whole scenario. So anyway, I start speaking to her, and as we're talking, she says to me, you have such a good energy. Like, you are just radiating love. And I'm like, oh, she's like, this place, there's such an energy. Like, it's just like this radiation. I can't even tell you what it is. And I'm like, oh, well, do you know who lived here? She's like, no. I'm thinking, why are you here? So I explained to her, this man, Jesus, he lived here. And I believe he was the Son of God, and I follow him. And it's actually this love that you're experiencing. I think that this is Jesus's love through me. And that's what you're experiencing. So I say, Jesus radiators, be people who spend time with Jesus. Jay. Secondly, you, unafraid, verses 18 to 20 says this. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Whose voice are we going to listen to? You know, in this day and age, there are so many voices at play. Whose voice are we going to listen to? The voice of the world, the voice of fear, or the voice of God? I want to reiterate here that what I think is clear about courage, and although I'm telling you to be unafraid, I don't think that it's this just suppressing fear, ignoring it, but actually I think it's about facing fear head on and saying, no, I have faith and trust that there is a hope and this has a purpose. And so, you know, just like for me, when I stepped out of my fear, I knew that I was tethered on this lifeline. And this is the hope that we have as believers. We have an eternal hope in the resurrection power of Jesus. And we're able to step out in that. And I want to say today that, yes, this passage is about the courage to step out, to share the gospel, to pray for the sick, to share the good news in the hope that we have. But I think it's important to say here that if you are someone that is struggling with fear, I've actually spent most of my life crippled by anxiety. And actually, the biggest thing that I've been able to hold on to is my eternal hope and salvation in Jesus. That one day he will make all things new, whether it's a fear of death, a fear of sickness, fear of loss, whatever it is, we have an eternal hope. And so I just want to say that today, if you're someone who feels like, great, we're talking about courage, but I just feel crippled by fear, know that God can meet you in that. But in today's passage, I think I just want to draw out, what does it look like to fear God and not fear the world? Well, I think for us as as believers, we are called. We've been given this great commission to go and share our faith. And what is an obstacle to that? Well, I'm going to say something maybe a bit bold. I think as Christians in the West, our biggest obstacle to sharing our faith is a fear of man. And what do I mean by that? A fear of rejection, a fear of looking stupid, a fear of like sharing it and someone kind of ignoring you or praying for someone and it not working, you're not seeing the healing or the thing that you've been asking for. But actually, you know, in the West here, I'm saying this here, there are Christians, even today, Asha was praying for believers across the world for whom this story of Peter and John, where if you speak, this is like you are facing your death as a lived experience. But that's not where we are. By God's grace, that's not where we are here. But I want to encourage us what it is to step out. But it isn't easy. So I go back to my story. I'm chatting with this girl and she tells me her philosophy of life. She's very open. And so she says to me, I believe we're all capable of self-healing if we just believe, if we just manifest our healing. At this point, I feel the Lord say to me, she has a bad knee and you need to pray for healing. And I'm like, Lord, did you hear what she just said? If I pray for healing, she's going to think that she's healed herself. He's like, pray for healing. I'm like, I don't even know if she's got a bad knee, God, so like, I'm not going to do it. He's like, pray for healing. So what did I do? Here I am, you, unafraid. I said to her, well, it was really nice to meet you, and I hope you find whatever it is that you're looking for. And I pegged it. And I literally ran away. I'm like walking away, and I'm like, God, I just don't want to look stupid. I'm like, I'm never going to see this girl again. Why couldn't I step out? But guess what? We have this amazing hope. Third point, M, moving in the power of the Spirit. Verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to say it again. This isn't a personality change. This is a man who has encountered the risen Jesus, who has been filled with the power of the Spirit. And because of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out on all people. We can be filled and keep on being filled by the Holy Spirit. And Peter is transformed. He's so far from the man who denied Jesus, who ran away when he was crucified, who hid in a room. He's a man on fire preaching. But guess what? Peter would have walked past this man every day on the way to the temple. Peter was a Jewish man. He would have prayed in the temple every day. That man had been there 40 years. We don't know how many times Peter had walked past him. But on this one occasion, Peter, in the power of the Spirit, goes and prays for him. So I'd encourage you, maybe you feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit to go and step out. Maybe it's to share your faith or your testimony with one of your friends from college or a colleague at work. I just want to encourage you that I've seen in my own life, I'd say 99 times out of 100, if the Lord prompts me to move and step out, it's because he's been doing work in the background. And then I'd say the one out of 100 is probably I'm the first one, and then he carries on. And so I'd encourage you, when you feel those nudges from the Lord, to step out. So anyway, I haven't got a nudge. I've got a drone in my head. I'm walking away from this girl, and the Lord's like, go back and pray for her. Go back and pray for her. I'm like, Lord, please leave me alone. Anyway, I'm like, all right, swallow my pride. Let's go. March back over. I'm like, this is really weird. Like, do you perchance have a bad knee? You know, when you're trying to extend it, you're like, knee, leg, like any pain in your body? Like, she's like, what? How did you know? And she literally pulls up her trouser leg, and there is her knee, bandaged up, bloodied. She says, I'm in agony. It's why I sat down next to you in the first place. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is so cool. So here I am. My faith is like sky high. I'm like, right, I'm going to pray for her. And what do? I just say, Lord, I thank you that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And in the name of Jesus, I command healing over this knee, Lord. I pray that you will reveal this love to her that she's experienced through me. So I'm waiting. She literally ignores my prayer and carries on the conversation. I'm like, please, God, I stepped out. Come on. So anyway, we carry on this conversation. And maybe a few minutes have passed. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? And we carry on this conversation. She's sharing more of her story with me. And then I feel the Lord say, just then, the pain left. I said, the pain's gone. And she just looks up with tears in her eyes. And she said, yes, it's not here anymore. I want to encourage you. It is cool. What an amazing story of healing. I want to encourage you that when we're filled, when we move in the Spirit, God does amazing things. This is an exciting journey. This was an interruption. You know, I'm just here like, oh, this is so beautiful. And now I'm going to go to the Mount of Beatitudes and have a great time. But then the Lord breaks in and he's moving and he's walking. And I just want to encourage you, why not spend even just 2 minutes a day at the beginning of your day when you wake up, say, come, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Would you fill me with your presence? You know, it might look like stepping out and sharing your faith. It might look like praying for someone. Or it might just look like having a supernatural peace in a situation that really does not make sense. So, moving in the power of the Spirit. We carry on in the story, and she explains to me that she is actually really caught up in New Age spirituality, and she's been using crystals and all the other things that were in her basket in her own life. And I feel the Lord say, right, challenge it and tell her that I am the Lord. I'm like, oh, okay. But here we go. Jump, pee, primed with the gospel. Verse 12 says this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name by which we can be saved. And that's what I share with her. I say to her, this love that you've been experiencing through me, this is available to you. You know, this healing that you've received, it's in the power of Jesus in a move of the Holy Spirit. And you too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I explain the gospel to her. And she just says to me, I have spent my whole life searching. She grew up in Germany. She's like, I've been around churches my whole life, but I never knew that I would encounter this in Christianity. How do I follow Jesus? So there, beside the Sea of Galilee, on the sea upon which he walked, Jesus walks into her life, and she chooses to follow him. And it was just such an amazing time. It was such an amazing moment. And I wanna say that this has been one of the most like encouraging stories in my life. And yes, I had to step out, and yes, I was afraid. But God just met me in my place of fear, and I was able to step out. But this isn't, you know, my personality. This was literally, I bottled it, I ran, I didn't want to do it. But God just, I've said, okay, you can fill me, you can use me. We have the gift of life to offer people. You know, if you haven't listened to Ben's sermon from 2 weeks ago, I really encourage you to listen to it. He shares the rescue mission of the Titanic. There was a boat very close by to the Titanic. The flares went up. They just thought it was, you know, they'd set some fireworks off. So they all go to bed. Then meanwhile, like 100 miles away, there's a ship. They see these flares going up, and they're like, we have a rescue mission to make. This boat makes it. They rescue 700 people. We have a rescue mission. Are we going to be asleep, or are we going to be aboard the ship that's there wanting to preach the hope that we have? We have this lifeline, this eternal hope. And we have this to offer to people. You know, I can't stand here today and tell you I know the end of this girl's story. We departed, and I've never heard from her since. But I just want to draw out one final thing in today's passage. Verses 15 to 17, we see that the Sanhedrin, they withdraw, they go away. And they have this conversation. They're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, we're going to tell them that they can't preach in the name of Jesus. But something that struck me is, how does Luke, the writer of Acts, know what happened in this private conversation? This was behind closed doors. Well, I want us to turn forward to Acts 26, 9 and 10. It will be on the screens. It says this, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. This is Paul writing. This is Paul speaking in front of King Agrippa. Sorry, it's not him writing, it's him speaking. And you see that commentators believe that once upon a time, Paul, or he would have been Saul at that point, was on this council that Peter and John proclaimed the gospel to. You know, they had no idea on that day when they were filled with the Spirit that when they spoke, they were speaking to a man who would have a radical transformation of his own and become the greatest apostle. So I encourage you, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the end of the story. Maybe you're like, I'm not that courageous. I'm not going to be the one that's preaching or praying or whatever it is. But you never know. You might share with a close friend who goes on to become a Paul-like figure. The Lord can use us. So today, jump. Be people of courage. Jesus radiators, people who spend time with him, who look like him, who love like him. Unafraid, because we know the hope that we have. Just like me on that jump, I was tethered too. We have this lifeline, this eternal hope in Jesus. We are secure. Moving in the power of the Spirit, because without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. It's only in this power, but we can all be filled and keep on being filled. And finally, P, primed with the gospel. This is the hope we have, and it's the gift that we can offer. So jump. He will catch you, and he will not let you fall. Whether it's the courage to preach or pray for the sick, or simply just face your daily fears, know that we can place our faith over fear, because our faith is not vain. We can be people of courage. So today, let's jump. Will you pray with me as we close? Lord God, we just thank you that your Spirit is for all people. And today, Lord, we ask that you would fill us afresh, that you will remind us of the hope that we have, that we are secure. Lord, we thank you that when you pour out your Spirit, it's not a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of might, and of a sound mind. And so, Lord, I just pray that in our daily lives that you would help us to grow into people of courage who put our hope and trust in you. We just pray all these things in your name. Amen.